Turn to Matthew chapter 1. I want us to begin looking in verse number 18 as we consider worst case scenario. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, today as we consider the Word, I pray that You would move mightily in each of us, that we may see the message that You have by Your Spirit intended for us to receive. Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified and magnified, and that souls today might be drawn to the Lord who is alone able to save them. Use me, I pray, to be a blessing to this Your people. For we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Sometimes we read the Bible and we hear of characters like Joseph and we think that they were some supernatural type of a person. We think of Mary as some supernatural type person. And we look through the Bible and there are many folks that we see as way bigger than life, and that somehow, if we encounter that person today, that they would be set apart as something really supernatural, extraordinary. And so we have a very difficult time in certain instances trying to identify with the lessons that God was giving to characters in His Word and how that relates to us. But I want to tell you something about Joseph. Joseph was a man who had feelings just like you do. Joseph was a man who had dreams and emotions very much like you have. In fact, Joseph was a man who knew what it was to work hard with his hands, like you know. Joseph was a man who had ideals and principles, and he was in love with Mary. He was looking forward to spending his life with her. And as he was preparing for their life together, the worst thing that he could have ever imagined became known to him. He was confronted with his own worst case scenario. And when he was put into a position of decision. And while in anguish about what to do, the Lord appeared unto him. Sometimes we do not think about the fact that every dream, every hope that Joseph had for a family was in an instant destroyed in his mind. His heart was broken. There was only one thing known to man that could have caused a pregnancy, and that was a betrayal of her man. And in that day, and in that moment, and in that time, it was scandalous. I want you to notice, first of all, if you would, the scandal. The pregnancy of Mary represented a betrayal in Joseph's mind on the deepest level. When he learned of the fact that she was going to have a child, at that moment, he did not know that the child was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. He had not yet heard from the angel Gabriel. And in fact, when he heard this news, I am confident in my spirit that even though the Bible does not say it, he shed tears of bitterness and sorrow because all of the hopes and dreams that he had for a happy home and marriage were all at once laying in ruin at his feet. This was an offense that carried the worst implications imaginable. Now, as I counsel with people that are preparing to be married, much like Joseph and Mary, I talk to them about many things. One of the things that I talk to them about is what in their minds would constitute worst case scenario that would bring about the demise of their home in their own mind. And almost inevitably, one of the two will say, if I find that my husband or my wife has been in the arms of another, if they've been having an affair or cheating on me, that is a worst case scenario that in my mind gives me an out and allows me to sever the relationship. That would be the destruction of my marriage and consequently my commitment to that marriage. That would be my worst case scenario. There are a lot of people that say that, by the way. And yet, I believe today that God's plan is not just that people pursue the legalistic pathway and try to find some hope in the Bible that they can be justified in taking the path of least resistance and looking for the exits. Rather, I think God would, that His people would be filled with grace and truth and would seek to administer the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ to offenders, even as we have offended the Lord, and He has bestowed His grace and mercy upon each of us. And under Hebrew law, Joseph, at this moment when he learned of the pregnancy of Mary, was within his right, in that worst case scenario, to carry out some things that would be the most extreme things imaginable. In fact, legally, he could have taken her to the edge of the city and called for the elders of Bethlehem to gather together with him and the community there and to encircle her and to stone her to death for her adultery. Because under Hebrew law, an espousal was every bit as binding as a marriage legally. It was incumbent upon those who were espoused together to maintain fidelity and commitment and morality during the season of espousal before the marriage was consummated. And Joseph found himself in a dilemma because the woman of his dreams, now it appeared to him, had violated his trust and had gone out and had been in the arms of another man and had given her purity to another man. And that life that he dreamed of together was now in shambles at his feet. That hope that he had of being the one that would first lay with Mary and they would conceive a child and have a home and live happily ever after, it was now gone and it was scandalous. The worst thing he could imagine. You say, the worst thing I could imagine is if they died. But friend, it was as if she died because literally the elders of the community could have forced his hand and made him drag her to the edge of town and stone her to death in shame while at the same time shaming her family and all that knew her. There was nothing that he could have envisioned that would have been worse than that. Perhaps today you find yourself in a situation that perhaps is not necessarily of your own creation. Or perhaps it is. And it may be scandalous and something that would produce a tremendous level of shame. And it seems like the plans and the hopes, the dreams that you have had for your life lay in ruin at your feet and you have no way of piecing it back together. And perhaps you think the only answer is to go to counseling, or the only answer is to turn to a bottle, or the only answer is to turn to a needle or a pill, or the only answer is to turn to another relationship that would be illegitimate in its nature, thinking that somehow you can mollify your pain and deal with the sorrow that's been inflicted upon you through chemicals or through relationships or through sex or through some diversion. And folks, the truth of the matter is it will only compound that which is scandalous. That worst case scenario will go from worse to worser. As bad as you think it is at the moment, it can get worse. It can get worse. That's where Joseph was. His worst case scenario, the scandal, led him secondly to the sorrow. There was no doubt brokenness in the heart of Joseph. His heart was broken. You think about the person that you love the most in the world, that you trust the most in the world. And then all at once, you find that they've betrayed your trust and they have taken you for granted. They have plundered you. How would you feel? You think you'd cry? Think you'd be angry? You suppose that you would be upset a little bit? I think it would be one of the most devastating days of your life. That's exactly how Joseph must have felt, because when he learned of this, he did not know that that child growing in her womb was the son, not of one of his neighbors, but of God. Maybe he thought, I want to know who it is because I'm going to kill him. But Joseph was not a man who was given over to anger, because the Bible tells us that he pondered these things and he thought on these things. Joseph was brokenhearted. Perhaps you find yourself dealing with some worst case scenarios, maybe with your kids, maybe with your health. Perhaps in your marriage. I don't know where you may find yourself this Christmas, but let's be real. Let's not try to pretend that everything is all peaches and cream. Let's acknowledge that we have pain and hurts, and that Christmas is really a window into what is the answer. And it is Jesus alone. The Bible tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to weep. And here was Joseph, a man now filled with sorrow. And I think of what the psalmist said, that the Lord is nigh unto all those that are of a broken heart. And today, if your heart is broken, I want you to understand that God is near. And He is standing ready to do what He has promised to do, and that is to be the restorer of your soul. Even as the psalmist wrote in that great shepherd's psalm, He restoreth my soul. And literally, that means that He is the mender of the broken heart. God wants to take your broken emotions and your fractured life and your devastated heart and form it into something of rare and precious beauty that could shine under the glory of Jesus. And Joseph became true to his name, which means Jehovah will increase. And he came to the place where he said, my emotions are not nearly as consequential as God's purpose in all of this. And so I am going to lay my emotions aside for a moment so that God may be glorified somehow, some way. I'm going to take this hand that has been dealt me, and albeit worst case scenario, I will do my best to honor God in all that I choose to do here. Today, as you may be broken in spirit because of a circumstance in your life, because of a worst case scenario with a child or a marriage or employment or finances or health or whatever the case may be, and you can identify with the sorrow of Joseph upon hearing what was the worst case scenario for him, know that God is near, and determine that where you are, you will do what is best to honor God. Instead of becoming inward and selfish and drowning your sorrows in that which will only compound them and not ever minimize them. You can tie one on and say, I just want to forget. And then you'll get a DUI and then what? Or you'll drive up onto a sidewalk and kill a child walking home from the mall with their mother, and then what? You see, your worst case scenario can become far worse if you try to take matters into your own hand. But if you find yourself in that devastation and you're filled with sorrow, seek the Lord and determine that through your pain you will seek that God would be the restorer of your broken heart. Allow that to cause you to be drawn into an intimacy with God that is so transcendent, there is no pill strong enough that could even touch what you experience with God. There is no drug strong enough that can deal with, that can even begin to match the comfort that you find in God. There is no relationship intense enough that it can satisfy the deepest longing of your heart like Jesus can. Allow the sorrow to drive you to the Lord. Would you notice not only the scandal that was brought into his life because of the worst case scenario and the sorrow that accompanied that scandal, but notice, if you would, about Joseph, the sympathy. I think he stepped back for a moment and he thought, I know Mary well enough to know that if this happened, really, somebody had to have forced himself on her, or it was just a lapse in good moral judgment. And she's not a wicked, evil woman. I've seen her all my life. And at some point, he did not just feel sorry for himself. He cared for someone else in the midst of his trouble. You know, sometimes we read portions in the Bible like the book of Job, and we hear about the suffering of Job, and we think, what a terrible thing. He had worst case scenario to the 10th power in his life. He lost his kids, and his wife forsook him, and his friends turned on him. He lost his home and all of his wealth and everything. His health left him, and he was covered with boils from head to toe. And we think, man, what a devastating consequence. In every area of his life, he was facing a worst-case scenario. And do you know when everything turned around for Job? I can take you specifically to the verse when Job prayed for his friends. Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar that criticized him and maligned him and troubled him and gave him a hard time, tried to say God's judging you because you're wicked or evil, or you got sin in your life, and added insult to injury. Job, when he began to think of the needs of someone else, saw his circumstances start to change. Do you know something? That God wants you, for just a moment, to lift up your eyes and get out of the quagmire of despair that you're wallowing around in and to begin to pray for someone else that may have a need. And to have some empathy and some sympathy in your heart for the peril of someone else. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. There's nobody that I know in my world that's having the problems that I'm having. It doesn't matter. Pray for that other person in their hour of need and distress. They don't have to have the same kind of trouble that you're having in order for you to have compassion upon them. And the Bible tells us here that Joseph, her husband, in verse 19, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, I want you to notice something, that the Bible indicates that Joseph was a just man. He wanted to do what was right, not what was expedient. He wanted to do what was right. And he was thinking that maybe what I'll do is I'll just put her away. And because they were espoused and it was as binding as marriage, they would have had to have had a dissolution of that contract. In other words, they would have had to go through a divorce. And Joseph said, I think probably I will just privately, somewhere clandestinely, seek the dissolution of this espousal, and I'll put her away to help mitigate the shame that would be heaped upon her and the potential for her being stoned to death. I think what I'll do is have some sympathy for someone who maybe had a lapse in judgment. He was not a reactionary. When your troubles befall you, what then? You become an emotional wreck? Do you go into a frenzy and call everyone and have 48 people praying for you and sending out viral emails all across the country because you've got an issue in your life? All before you have ever personally gone to your knees to seek the Lord. All before you have ever taken a moment's time to think before reacting. And the Bible gives us clear indication here that Joseph was not willing to make her a public example. He thought about this. He was thinking, he was minded to put her away. In his mind, he was thinking these things. And while he thought on these things, you know what the indication here is? That Joseph was a man that wanted to do the right thing. And because of his love for God and his love for Mary, he did not let his emotions dominate his decision making. So how he felt did not determine how he acted. He thought on what was just, what was right, what was good, and he was allowing that to determine how he reacted. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Do you know everything? Now, some of you may think, pert and ear. No, you don't know everything, do you? You know, the truth is, we don't even know some stuff. We just know a smidgen compared to all that there is to know. Do you know what I have discovered? And this is profound. You may want to write this down. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And guess what else? You don't know everything you think you know. You don't know what you don't know, and you don't know everything that you think you know. And that's a fact. Now, folks, he could have said, I know what she's doing. But did he know it? No. He could have said, I bet it's that guy down on the corner that's always making eyes at her when we go to market. He and I are going to mix it up. I'm going to throw down with him. I know it's that guy. But did he know it? No. He could have said, that little tramp betray me like that? I'll take her to the edge of town and let the others deal with her. He could have let his anger overtake him. He could have let his emotions or his feelings determine what he did. But do you know what he did? He took a step back and he pondered what is right, what is just, what would be best in my worst case scenario. Joseph wanted to spare her the threat of death and the humiliating shame that would befall her. He showed her sympathy. Now maybe you're at that place. You're thinking about, what do I do? Where do I go from here? I do not know what to do. My world is falling apart. My hopes and dreams are in tatters. They're laying at my feet in shambles. I don't know what to do about this. My heart is broken. And although I feel badly for everyone whose life has been injured in the course of this situation that I'm in, I do not know what to do. And you find yourself wanting to act out on your emotions. You find yourself wanting to be angry and bitter at God or perhaps those that you perceive to be your offenders. Pause for a moment because your worst case scenario is about to get worse yet. Stop and ask like Joseph did within your own heart, what is just? What is right? What is best? And wait on the Lord. It's a good thing that Joseph wasn't an angry man. The Lord would never have come through the womb of Mary. Would you notice with me not only the scandal that befell him, the sorrow that overtook him, the sympathy that filled his heart, but the saying which he heard, the saying which he heard. The Bible tells us in verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, say the next two words with me. Fear not. Say them again. Fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We find that the saying that was delivered unto Joseph by Gabriel the archangel was the word of God to Joseph. It was a message that God sent to him as Joseph found himself wrestling with his worst case scenario. And friends, let's be real today. I know people in this room that have lost their homes this year. Some are in the process of losing them. I'm talking to people that have lost their vehicles. I'm talking to people that have lost their jobs. I'm talking to people that have lost, some that have lost their purity, some that have lost their reputations, some that have lost their marriages, some that have lost their children. And you are in the throes of your worst case scenario, and right now you find yourself filled with fear and bitterness in your heart, and you're trying to figure out, what do I do and where do I go? And God has brought a word to you, and here is the message from God. Fear not. You know why? God has allowed every scenario of your life to come into play to work His good and holy purpose in your life. As terrible as it may seem, I don't know about you, but I think about what my worst case scenario would be. And I think to myself, the worst thing that I could ever imagine is losing one of my children. Having one of my children taken in death. And then I think of the Heavenly Father who had to live my worst case scenario and watch His Son be tortured to death so that I might be a partaker of the best case scenario. And the word He sends to me is, it only looks like the worst thing that could ever happen right now. Fear not. I've got something in mind for you. And it's good. Fear not. The Lord sent the word to the angel Gabriel to dispel his fear. And the Bible tells us that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Does that characterize you in these days as you face your difficult scenarios? Soundness of mind? Or do you find yourself shaken in mind? God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what I want to give you in exchange for all of your fears. Your worst case scenario has led you to a place of fear. God will give you His word and say, fear not. He said, fear not to take Mary into thy wife, because there's something going on here that you cannot see, but it will be revealed to you. Christ is being formed here. It took the worst case scenario for Joseph for Christ to be formed. And I want to tell you, as I look back over my life, I was not crafted and formed in the image of God on mountaintops. It was not through great victories in my life that Christ could be manifested in me. It was only in the depths of despair and through the valleys that I walked in dealing with my worst case scenarios that Christ could ever be formed. And never without that, I would have never chosen a worst case scenario. But it had to happen for me. For Christ to be formed in me. It had to happen for Mary and Joseph. For Christ literally to be formed in her. The saying that we must take hold of today is fear not. Do you know why? There are things going on here that you cannot see, that you probably do not understand, but God is well aware of them. And He is working something out for your good and His glory that will blow your mind. Fear not. Fear not. With Christ, you can face the scenario with courage. And know that He will see you through it. I want you to notice not only the saying, but the surrender. Joseph became willing to be thought of as either weak or immoral. You think of that. There were two possibilities for Joseph with the men of Bethlehem. As they became aware of his wife's condition, and believe me, news like that travels like wildfire. Right? It does. So there are basically two options if he decided to remain with Mary according to the will of the Lord. Then, if he didn't call somebody out and beat some guy up for getting his fiancée pregnant, or if he stayed in that situation and they perceived that he was henpecked, he was going to be perceived by the men of Bethlehem as being some weak-kneed, lily-liver, lace-on-his-underwear wimp that couldn't hold his own. Right? Or he would be seen as an incontinent pervert that couldn't control his passions and took his wife before the time. And either case wasn't really good. Either case reflected negatively upon him. And so he had to contemplate, do I want to do the right thing here and stay with Mary and take her to wife and perhaps be perceived as someone that is immoral or someone that is weak? Either one was undesirable. You know, the Apostle Paul was willing to be counted a fool for Jesus' sake so that Christ may be magnified and His cause could be advanced. Did you know that John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease? It is not important the opinions that others have of me, only what think ye of Christ. And He was willing to surrender His desires to be thought of as honorable by other people or to be loved by others. He had to be willing to surrender His dream as He had crafted it to get married, then to have kids, and then to settle down and live happily ever after and sit on that love seat rocker that He built in the carpenter shop. He had to surrender that dream, didn't he? He had to say, it's not going to work like this anymore. And so either I've got to run, or I've got to submit myself to the will of God for my life. And you know what? You may maybe say, something scandalous has come upon me, and sorrow has broken my heart. And though I may have sympathy on those that have been hurt in the process of this, I'm finding it hard to take hold of the saying, fear not. But God is leading you through that scenario to the moment of surrender where you will say, the life that I would have chosen for myself, the life and the dreams that I have crafted for myself, in the interest of Christ being formed in me, I am willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done here. I'm willing to do as God would indicate. I want you to notice, lastly, not only the scandal, not only the sorrow or the sympathy, the saying and the surrender, that he was willing to surrender to God's plan, but the salvation that came because he did surrender. Salvation that came to all mankind because he was willing to surrender. We talk a lot about Mary and her surrender, and I preach sermons. I've got a big file of Christmas sermons that God's put on my heart, and there's some that I went back through this week and looked upon, and a message that I preach on Mary, be it unto me, and even as thou wilt, and that really epitomizes the spirit of Joseph. Even though Mary knew that she was going to be perceived as a woman of ill repute, Joseph knew that he would also be cast in the same light. That his business might suffer, that his family may not want to be around him. But it was all to the end that Jesus might come to this world. And the Bible says that the angel Gabriel said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible tells us about a little bit about the character of Joseph. Verse number 25, the Bible says he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and he called his name Jesus. You know, he didn't take her into the bedroom for 9 months till after the time of her ceremonial cleansing. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something, that the Lord chose a woman who was highly favored to be the vessel through whom Emmanuel would come. But He chose a man named Joseph who was highly favored of the Lord, who was a man of conviction and character. But can I tell you something about Mary and Joseph? They needed someone to save them from their sins. They didn't make it up to heaven because they were so moral and great, although the perceptions others may have had of them were probably wrong. They were decidedly wrong. They needed salvation. And what God delivered through His own worst case scenario, the death of His Son, created man's best case scenario, a Savior. Did you know that God loves you so much that He will orchestrate the scandalous and the sorrowful so that Christ may be formed in you? So that He can save you not only from your sins, but if you're saved, to save you from you and give you the life of Jesus Himself. Joseph means Jehovah will increase. In every way, that meaning epitomizes his life. He was possessed of a willingness to surrender his dreams and hopes in the interest of Christ being formed. It took the worst case scenario for God so that we could be partakers of the best that He could provide. The only hope we have in our worst case scenario is Jesus. Jesus. Let me ask you a question. What is your worst case scenario? Is it your spouse to betray you? Is it you lose your house or your job? Your kids get on dope or go to jail? One of your loved ones die? What is your worst case scenario? Just be real about it. Then what? Then what? Say, well, you know, I could die in an accident. Then what? Think that's the end? It could get worse. You could have a second death in a place called hell. Amen. That's the ultimate worst case scenario. Because when you reach that destination, it's a final destination. You cannot say Emmanuel because God is not there. If you died right now, are you certain that you'd spend forever in heaven? Or don't you really know? You see, the worst case scenario is not what you think. It's not to live in poverty and have your loved ones be ill and you lose your job. The absolute worst case scenario is to die without Christ and go to a devil's hell without the hope of ever escape. Think about it. the worst case scenario. Say, I'm in it. God lets you be in it for a minute so that He might bring you to Himself, so that He could be the restorer of your soul and the crafter of your dreams, so that you could be the partaker of His best case scenario for you.